Hare Krishna. I am very happy to welcome everyone to Sri Radha Gopinath's Sunday festival. When devotees come together in a congenial spirit, sharing their devotion to Lord Krishna by hearing his glories, chanting his names, honoring his prasadam, and offering various services to his transcendental form, Krishna manifests in that place in his own transcendent, inconceivable way. Krishna manifests in this world through the hearts of his devotees. In fact, that famous verse that Lord Krishna spoke to Sri Narada Muni, that you will not find me in the caves where the yogis are performing their tapasya, nor in the academic universities where the scriptures are being studied, but rather you will find me wherever my devotees are coming together in a spirit of unity and devotion to chant my holy name. Kali Yuga is an age of intense suffering, permeating our society. Kali Yuga is an age of so much torment, quarrel, hypocrisy, disease, war, divorce, abortion, plagues, droughts, floods, earthquakes. This is Kali Yuga. Where friends and relatives are potentially enemies at the least provocation. Therefore, the Lord comes with the strongest medicine in order to counteract the strongest disease. Therefore, he has personally descended in the sound of his name to attract the hearts of the lost souls of Kali Yuga. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtana. When we are chanting the holy names, we should have faith in the process that is taking place. If we chant in a proper spirit of humility and servitude, the Lord descends from the topmost planet of Goloka Vrindavan, along with his divine pleasure potency, Sri Radharani, to manifest themselves as well as their supreme mercy through their name. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is eternally being chanted in the spiritual world by the gopis and the gopas, and it is descended to this world and personally distributed by Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, who has appeared in the singular form of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu to give the love of Vrindavan to everyone and anyone without discrimination. Krishna is all attractive, but yet he is attracted by the sincere devotion of his devotees. This interaction of the attraction between the supreme all-pervading personality of Godhead, whose form is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, and his infinitesimal, little tiny jivatma, that is called bhakti. Although the spirit soul is said in this world to be hardly 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair, still, when bhakti appears within that soul's heart, the all-powerful powerful, supreme Rasaraj Krishna is helplessly attracted to that devotion. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give this world the opportunity to attract his heart through devotion, to give jnana, to give mystic powers. The Lord does quite easily. However, to give someone pure bhakti is very rare, because he personally comes under the control of that bhakta. But yet, in the mood of his own pleasure potency, Sri Radhikarani, he comes to spread bhakti to everyone in this world through the chanting of the holy name. How the Lord attracted people's hearts and engaged them in his loving service unconditionally is one of the most beautiful pastimes of our Vaishnava history. When Lord Chaitanya was living in Navadvip, he did not reveal himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The first years of his Leela, he did not even manifest his mission as the Yuga Avatar. He appeared to be a human being, very proud and arrogant because he was the greatest of all the scholars of the great city of Navadvip. But yet still, how he attracted the hearts of everyone. Sometimes Lord Vishwambhar, which was his name at the time, he would be walking along the bank of the Ganges, and he would see the devotees and stop them to reciprocate loving exchanges that they could not understand. It is said that although the Lord was simply a teacher of very basic Sanskrit grammar, the greatest scholars of philosophy, the Bhattacharyas, Mishras, Chakravartis, feared him because he was so very learned and always eager to challenge anyone he would see to a debate. One time he saw Mukunda, that sweet kirtan singer, walking on the roadside, and he personally took him by the hand and said, "Mukunda, you have escaped from me many times, but this time I have captured you. Ask me any question you want to ask me." Mukunda was thinking that he's a teacher of grammar. If I ask him questions on grammar, he will certainly defeat me. But if I ask him questions in the science of Alankara, then certainly he will be baffled. So first he began to offer him questions in grammar, and the Lord defeated everything he spoke. Then he said, "Grammar is for fundamental beginners. Now I'm going to ask you questions in the science of Alankara." "So be it. Ask me whatever you like." Every question he asked, the Lord completely transformed in such a way that Mukunda was defeated. And as the Lord was defeating every one of his statements, his mind became blank. The Lord, seeing his devotee in such a state, said, "That's all for now. You go home, study your books, and I'll meet you tomorrow." Mukunda took the dust from his feet, and in his heart of hearts he was thinking, how could anyone be so learned in every particular subject that there is? Then he began to pray in his heart. He's so intelligent. He's so beautiful. He's so charming. If only he was a devotee of Krishna, I would never give up his association even for a moment. The Lord saw Gadadhar. He took him by the hand and said, Gadadhar, today you will not escape from me. I challenge you to debate. You tell me, what is the meaning of liberation, mukti? Gadadhar spoke from the Nyaya Shastra that the actual meaning of liberation is mitigation of all the threefold miseries of material existence. But Lord Chaitanya would not accept that answer. Because actually for a Vaishnava, that is not mukti. Sripad Madhvacharya has said that real mukti is taking complete shelter and finding ultimate peace at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. So the Lord defeated him in so many ways, and as he was being defeated, as everything Gadadhar was saying was being proved to be false and full of errors, he was thinking in his mind, I want to run away. The Lord's in everyone's heart. He fulfills their desires. He said, Gadadhar, go home for now. Study your books. Tomorrow I will meet you again. And then, perhaps, you will be able to answer my questions properly. When Lord Chaitanya would see the senior devotees like Srivas Pandit, with great honor he would offer his obeisances. Srivas Pandit would bless him. He and the other devotees would tell him that, Nimai, why are you wasting your life with all this academic scholarship? Don't you know that all education is meant only to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Master and we are his servants? Any opulences in this world that are not used in devotional service are simply a useless waste of time. All endeavors outside of bhakti are simply following the path to death and ignorance. Nimai would pray to Srivas, please bless me. He would say, I bless you that you should become a devotee of Krishna. The Supreme Lord, the master of all devotees, in the role of a humble servant, he replied to Srivas, thank you very much. By your blessing, certainly someday I will become a devotee. In fact, I just have to teach a few more studies, and after that, I'm going to associate with a pure devotee, and by that association, I will become a Vaishnava. The Lord wanted to teach the world that without the association of advanced devotees who are surrendering their lives in the service of the Lord, there's no possibility of becoming Krishna conscious. In fact, neophyte devotees, the tendency is that over the years, our consciousness drifts down again into ignorance. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has very nicely explained how this happens. We take to Krishna consciousness, but the illusory energy of the material world is very powerful. The tendency is again to drag our minds to complacency, to thoughts of sense gratification, to acts of sense gratification. Unless we are associating with advanced devotees who have given their lives in the service of the Lord, we will certainly go down. But the association of those devotees will bring our consciousness up, 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 back home, back to Godhead. So the Lord wanted to impress in this instance the absolute necessity of association with those devotees who are giving their lives in devotional service. The Lord was so attractive. he would roam through the streets of Navadvip and attract everyone's hearts. The young ladies of Navadvip, when they would see Gaur Sundar walking along with his friends and students, they were so attracted by his beauty. They were thinking in their hearts and discussing amongst themselves that he is the very personification of Kamadev, Cupid, who has appeared on earth to attract our minds. The elderly ladies, they would have such parental affection. They would think, how much pious activities Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra must have been performed to have this most beautiful, charming child as their own son. The scholars, they would see him as the one person on this planet who was equal in every way in scholarship to Brihaspati, the guru of the devas. The yogis, when they would see Nimai walking down the streets, they would think, here is the Siddha Mahapurusha. Here is the person who has perfected all the mystic sciences perfectly. And when the sinners and criminals would see Nimai, they would see him as Yamaraj, death personified. One day he went to the shop of a weaver of cloth, and he said to the shopkeeper, please give me your best cloth. The shopkeeper went and brought his best dhotis, chadars. He said, I don't have any money. I'm a poor Brahmin. He said, that's all right. You take this. You put it on. If you like it, after 10 or 15 days, you can pay me whatever you like. You don't have to pay anything. Take it. The Lord put on all his clothes, and then he went to the shop of a gopa who has milking cows and making different milk products. And when they saw him, they were so happy to see him. They called him uncle. They said, please sit down. And in this community of milkmen, they were all competing whose house he would come to. They would say, please come to my house. Don't you remember that you have come to my house long before? They didn't know what they were saying. But actually, they were the same gopas of Gokul Vrindavan who Krishna enjoyed milk products from their home. They were revealing the truth of their previous identities and the identity of the Lord, but they didn't even know what they were saying. Please come and eat some rice in my house. No, no, please sit down. Hey, take rice in my house. The Lord would sit down and they would all bring him yogurt, dahi, and cream, and sandesh, and all kinds of ghee and nice milk products. And the Lord would enjoy it like anything. He'd said, I have no money. No, no, it's free for you. As much as you like, whatever you like. After fulfilling all of their desires, he would go to the shop of a seller of conch shells. He would say, please give me the best of your conch shells, but I have no money, not even one coin. They would bring the best conch shell. You take this if you like it. Then you can pay or not pay. It doesn't matter. Anytime. Then he went to the shop of the seller of perfumes and fine scented oils. And he said, I want to try your best oil, but I have no money. This person brought his best oils and started anointing every limb of Lord Gaur Sundar's body. And he was feeling such intense spiritual ecstasy, but he couldn't understand why. He said, you take all this oil, you put it on before your bath, and at the end of the day, if the scent is still on your body, then you could come back and you can give me whatever you like, or you don't have to give me anything. Just take this oil. And he went to a seller of flower garlands. He said, I want your best garland. He brought his best garland. He said, this is free. You don't have to pay anything for your pleasure, and offered it to the Lord. There was only one payment the Lord gave to all these people. His beautiful glance, his merciful glance, and his all-charming smile. That satisfied all their desires. They did not know he was Krishna. They thought he was an ordinary Brahmin. But they were experiencing love of Krishna. He was engaging them in unconditional service to his lotus feet. And they experienced that smiling glance of the Lord as hundreds of billions and trillions of quadrillions of times more satisfying than anything that money can give. When we perform our devotional service, we should not have any material consideration in mind of what will come in return. Because what you want, Krishna will somehow give you something like that. If you're performing devotional service and you want money, you want prestige, fame, followers, if you want good health, if you want a nice home, if you want a nice family life, Krishna may give you those things. But they will not satisfy your heart. They cannot. Because nothing of this temporary world can satisfy the desires of the soul. So we should be very careful what we desire when we are engaging in the chanting of the holy names. We should simply want to please Krishna. That's all. Savai pungshang paro dharmo yato bhaktir hokshaje ahaita ki aprati hataya yatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation for all humanity is that which brings about unconditional, unmotivated, devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you desire anything material, you are cheating yourself. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janamani janamanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahoita kitvai. I do not want wealth, beautiful women. I do not want fame, followers, or even liberation. I only want to engage in your unconditional service, my Lord. When Krishna is pleased upon us, he gives us the ultimate treasure. The treasure that will fill our hearts with unlimited eternal wealth. And what is that treasure? His merciful smile. When Krishna is pleased and smiles upon us, we have achieved the ultimate perfection of life. We will live for that smile. We will die for that smile. We will accept any tribulation that may come on the path of bhakti to attain that smile. And all the temporary objects of illusion that Maya may offer us on this path, we will reject them all. Because our mind is single focus upon achieving the smiling glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed that the inconveniences and sufferings that I endure in serving you are my greatest pleasure. Krishna consciousness is so wonderful. but it cannot possibly be understood by those who have material conditionings. It can only be understood with faith. You see, when we're endeavoring for something material, then when suffering comes on our path, it makes us very unhappy. Failure makes people miserable. Dishonor, disease, all of these things make us very unhappy. But if our mind is immersed in serving the Lord, Rishikesh, then even when these things come upon us, obstacles, sufferings, miseries, antagonism, they bring us bliss. Why? Because our focus is on pleasing Krishna and serving Krishna. And the more difficult the task is in serving Krishna, the more Krishna reciprocates and give us inner fulfillment, although externally we may be miserable.
Hare Krishna.
This is very hard for materialistic people to understand. How you can be simultaneously miserable and ecstatic. Your body's miserable, your mind is miserable, everything's miserable because everything's going against you, but your heart is ecstatic. Because you're willing to undergo all this to serve Krishna and to glorify His holy name. This is the goal that we are achieving. Our goal is not to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Our goal is to be so immersed in pleasing Krishna that whatever happens, we're feeling the satisfaction of Krishna's smile, that He's pleased with me. Guru Maharaj is pleased with me. The Vaishnavas are accepting my service. That's the goal of my life. Let whatever may happen in this world of death come to pass. But I will go on honestly, sincerely endeavoring to please the Lord. Lord Chaitanya came to the house of an astrologer. This person was very famous as being Sarvajna. He had the power, due to his devotion to Lord Gopal, that he could see past, present, and future about a person's life. He was a very humble devotee. He had a deity of Gopal, and he would worship that deity. And in his service to other persons, this was his occupation, Gopal would reveal to him whatever he wanted to know. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani chaujana bhavashani chabutani mamtu vedana kashtana. Krishna, He is the supreme knower. He knows past, present, and future. He knows all living beings, but no one can know Him in full. So Nimai came to the home of that astrologer, seeing the beautiful golden effulgence of Lord Gaurasundar, his lotus-like eyes, his beautiful smiling face, his elongated arms which stretched below his knees. He had a colorful dhoti with a red trim, golden in color, that was very majestically folded in three places. He had the cloth of the cloth merchant, the garland of the garland maker. He was chewing the spices that the spice keeper gave him. He came to the house of that astrologer and said, I have learned that you know everything about a person's past and future. Please tell me, who was I in my previous births? The astrologer was so happy to see this beautiful form of Gaur Sundar. He said, please come in. Certainly, I will tell you everything you ask of me. Then he turned to his deity of Gopal and began to chant the Gopal mantra. Chanting and chanting, he prayed, Gopal, please mercifully reveal to me who was this young Brahman in his previous lives. He went deep into meditation. Then he saw the opulent form of Lord Vishnu. Very dark complexion, like a rain cloud. He had a golden crown upon his head. He had the best of all jewels, the Kostubha Mani, upon his chest. This Kostubha Mani is effulgent like thousands of suns. Then he saw the mark of Srivas, a light silver-colored hair that is curled clockwise upon the chest of the Lord. He saw that he had four arms holding the lotus flower, Padma, the Sudarshan Chakra. He had the Panchajanya, the conch shell, and his head, Komodaki, the club. When he saw the Lord in this beautiful form of Vishnu, holding the lotus flower, the conch shell, the chakra, the club, he was amazed. Then he saw that that beautiful form of Lord Vishnu was in the prison cell of Kamsa. It was midnight. And Devaki and Vasudeva were bowing down to him, offering beautiful prayers. Then he saw that beautiful form of Vishnu transform into a tiny little innocent baby. Vasudeva was holding that baby. He walked through the prison of Kamsa as all the prison keepers were asleep. He saw torrents of rain flowing outside. It appeared as if the whole sky was being sliced into sections by bolts of lightning. There was thunder echoing in all directions. But there was Anantashesha, like an umbrella, covering Vasudev and his beautiful, worshipable Lord Gopal. As they passed through the Jamuna, he saw Vasudev place the small child in the abode of Nanda Maharaj at Gokul Mahavan. Then he saw his own worshipable deity appearing right before his eyes in his meditation, just according to how he always strived to meditate upon the Lord. There was baby Gopal, clothed only in the four directions. He had a silver string of bells tied around his waist. And in both hands, he was eating butter. Then that form of Sri Gopal, his worshipable Ishtadev, transformed into the form of Shamsundar. He saw the forests of Vrindavan with Kadamba trees, Tamal trees, the river Jamuna, peacocks, parrots, deers, monkeys, swans, they were all there. He was standing in his threefold bending form, playing upon a beautiful golden flute. He had a peacock feather decorating his hair, which was curling in so many delightful ways around his moon-like face, which was radiating aura of nectar. His eyes were like full-blown lotus petals, his lips like the bimba fruit. Surrounding him were innumerable gopis, gopas, and cows. And all of these celebrated devotees were playing musical instruments and singing songs, glorifying the holy names of Sri Krishna. The astrologer was bewildered. He was in ecstasy. All of his heart's desires were being fulfilled. But yet, he was in anxiety because he was not performing his service. He wanted to please Gaurasundara by telling him who he was in his previous lives. And he was in such a mood to serve the Lord, even though he didn't know he was the Lord, that although he was seeing Vishnu, Bal Gopal, Shyam Sundar, with Sri Radharani and all the gopis and gopas, he was praying, "My Lord, what are you doing? What's happening? Why are you showing me all these things? Please show me who this boy was in his previous lives." Nimai, who's in everyone's heart, knew exactly what was happening. So he asked, "What do you see? Who was I?" And he looked over at Nimai. He saw the same beautiful effulgence in his vision of Sri Radharani. But yet, by the yoga maya potency, he could not understand. He said, "Just be patient. I will tell you." Prayed, "Gopal, Gopal, please, 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 don't disappoint him." Who was this young boy in his previous life? Please show me. He went back into his meditation, and his heart, his consciousness entered into Ayodhya. There he saw a beautiful palace with jeweled pillars, and there was a golden throne, coral walls, and sitting upon that throne was Sri Ramchandra, who had a complexion like the durva grass. Beside him was Sita, Lakshman, Hanuman. Lord Ram was casting his merciful glance upon him as he was holding his celebrated bow. Such ecstasy the astrologer was feeling. Then Ram and Ayodhya transformed, and in his meditation he saw the ocean of devastation. Hare Krishna. Garbhodak ocean. Endless water everywhere, with massive waves tossing high up. The waves were going way up high and they were crashing against each other, making uproarious sounds. Then out from the ocean he saw Lord Varahadev. His transcendental form, pleasing all the devatas, coming out of the ocean. His tusks were white like milk. And upon those tusks, he saw the earth planet resting as Lord Varahadev was roaring in ecstasy. Then his meditation spontaneously was brought him to the palace of Hiranyakashipu. There, sitting on the throne of Hiranyakashipu, he saw Lord Narasimhadev. Shri Narasimhadev Bhagavan ki! He looked like anger personified. There was blood all over his mane, staining his fingernails, which like the sharpest, most formidable weapons. He was roaring. The demigods were in fear. And he saw little five-year-old Prahlad come forward and place a garland on Lord Narahari's beautiful neck. How the Lord was a very personification of anger, but how his heart was so soft and sweetly endowed with gentle love for his devotees. Then his meditation took him to the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. There he found Bali Maharaj surrendering his life and all of his possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared in his dwarf form of Sri Vamanadev. Bali Maharaj was requesting Vamanadev, "I surrender my life to you. Please place your lotus foot upon my head." The beauty and the charm of Vamanadev enchanted the heart of the astrologer. Then he saw Sri Vrindavan Dham, and there was Lord Balaram, who had a complexion like a white spring cloud. In one hand he was holding a club. In the other hand he was holding a plow. Lord Balaram was charming the entire universe. As he cast his glance upon the astrologer's heart was thrilling in ecstasy. Then his vision took him to Jagannath Puri. He saw the beautiful form of the lotus-eyed Lord Jagannath, casting his mercy upon him. Next to Jagannath was Subhadra, the Lord's beloved eternal sister. And besides her was Sri Baladev. The astrologer in his heart of hearts was falling down in ecstasy, worshipping the beautiful forms of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. But he was confused. He was bewildered. He was thinking, "I'm seeing all these visions, but I'm not performing my service properly. What's happening to me? I've never come before anyone who I could not tell them who they were in their previous lives. Oh Lord Gopal, oh Jagannath, oh Personality of Godhead, my worshipable, please reveal to me who was this Brahman in his previous births?" Nimai said, "So, what do you see?" He looked at Nimai and he saw the Brahman effulgence coming off of his beautiful golden body, the Brahmajyoti. He closed his eyes and started praying to Gopal, "What's happening to me? Who is this Brahman? Why I can't see? Why I can't tell him anything? Perhaps he's another astrologer. And he's coming to bewilder me. Or maybe he's a demigod who's coming to trick me. I don't know who he is." He was debating in this way in his mind. Because, you know, this is the nature of a devotee. He's not so concerned with his own ecstasies. He's concerned with his service. You know the story of associate of Lord Krishna, who was fanning Krishna with peacock fan. And seeing Krishna was bringing him so much ecstasy. The tears were flowing from his eyes. His limbs were trembling. He couldn't properly fan him. So he was praying to Krishna, take away these ecstasies so I can serve you nicely. What to speak of not concerning themselves with liberation from suffering? A devotee is not even concerned with his own ecstasies. A devotee simply wants to please Krishna. That is pure love. And he doesn't even care if he's the Supreme Lord. He simply wants to please him because he's Krishna. So this astrologer was reflecting on all that was happening and everything that he was seeing. He was praying to Gopal, please show me, tell me who he was. What to speak of not concerning themselves with liberation from suffering? A devotee is not even concerned with his own ecstasies. A devotee simply wants to please Krishna. That is pure love. And he doesn't even care if he's the Supreme Lord. He simply wants to please him because he's Krishna. So this astrologer was reflecting on all that was happening and everything that he was seeing. He was praying to Gopal, please show me, tell me who he was. Nimai said, so, what do you see? Who was I in my previous births? Can you tell me? He came out of his meditation. He said, yes, I will tell you. I will chant my mantra for some time. You come back in the afternoon and I will tell you who you were. Nimai said, very nice, I will come back. And he left. He went to the home of Kolaveta Sridhar. When he met Sridhar, he wanted to reveal the glory of a pure devotee. Sridhar was very poor. He was a Brahmin. He would just make his living selling some bananas and banana leaves and banana stalks and banana flowers. And he would make little cups of leaves to sell as plates. That's all. Every day, Nimai would go to Kolaveta Sridhar's little shop and argue with him for minimum 2 hours. That was his regulation. On this day, he said to Sridhar, my dear Sridhar, you are worshipping Krishna, the husband of the goddess of fortune, and yet he hasn't given you anything. Look at you. You're emaciated due to not proper food. I see your clothes. There's at least 10 knots closing the different rips and holes in them. And your house, it's a straw shack with so many holes in the top. I see that the devotees of Goddess Chandika, They worship her for material benedictions, and look what she's giving them. She's giving them fine foods, nice homes, nice clothes, jewelry, good families. What is the benefit of your worship of Krishna? Sridhar was very happy. He smiled and he spoke, "My dear Brahman, I may not be eating the finest foods, but I'm eating every day. So there's no problem. And I may not have the most luxurious clothes, but somehow or other there's cloth on this body. And I may not be living in a palatial building, but there's a home that I have. In my life, I have come to observe that the king is living in a beautiful jeweled palace, eating the most opulent foodstuffs, decorated with fine silks and jewels. And then there is the bird. The bird is living on top of a tree in a little nest made out of grass. The king has ministers, servants, maidservants, performing all duties for his pleasure. And the bird is all alone, struggling to make his own little house, struggling to get his food. The only clothes he had is the own feathers that he was born with. But I see that in the passing of time, there is no difference in their happiness and distress. As time passes, everyone is getting, according to their previous karmas, certain degrees of happiness and distress. But for all of them, time is passing the same way. And I am worshiping Krishna. I am happy, simply happy, chanting his holy name. Sri Gaurasundara replied that actually, I know you have a great treasure of wealth that you are hiding from the public, but someday I will expose you. Sridhar said, Hi, what you see is what I have. There's nothing hidden. I know that you possess a great treasure of wealth. There is internal wealth and external wealth. The external forms of wealth in this world can bring no real satisfaction to the heart or soul. And they are all perishable. It creates so much anxiety just to maintain it. The more you have, the more you want, the more you need. We have seen people with nothing need nothing. The more you have, the more you need to maintain what you have. You're never satisfied. The poor people want to be rich. The rich people want to be millionaires. The millionaires want to be billionaires. The billionaires want to control the world. And if you control the world, you want to control the universe. If you control the universe, you want to be God. There's no end to greed. But one who is satisfied with the inner wealth of humility and devotion to the Lord, that person enjoys the unlimited eternal treasure of divine love. Prema Pumartha Mahan, Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, that treasure of divine love is the ultimate goal of life. And it is made available to everyone in this age of Kali. who follow the principle of Trinarapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnana Amanina Manadena. And in that spirit, they constantly chant the holy name. Sri Gaurasundara said to Sridhar that, please give me a full supply of bananas, banana flowers, banana stalks, and banana leaves. And today I want them free, no charge. Sridhar was thinking in his heart, every day this young Brahmin comes and argues about prices with me, but I never win. And today he's asking everything for free. If he comes every day and takes everything for free, how will I survive? I only have a little. Sridhar, whatever profits he would make, the first half would go to the worship of Mother Ganga, knowing her to be a devotee of Lord Krishna. He was thinking that this boy is so proud. He's demanding everything free. And I have so little. How will I survive? But if I don't give, he may beat me. But actually, he's a Brahmin. And there's no better work than giving charity to the Brahmins. So I will give everything to him. Yes, you take everything for free. But why don't you go somewhere else and get bananas? Nimai replied, I know a good supplier when I have one. Do you know who I am? Sridhar replied, yes, you are a Brahmin. Coming from a dynasty of great Brahmins. Nimai smiled and said, no, I am a Gopa, a cowherd boy. Sridhar could not understand what he's saying. He said, I am coming from a cowherd community. Do you want to know something else about me? Sridhar was silent. He was already bewildered. He said, your worshipable Mother Ganga is glorious because she emanates from me. Sridhar put his hands on his ears. Hi, hi, hi. How impudent you are. Are you not afraid to offend Ganga Devi? You are considering yourself greater than the Ganga? That her glories are depending on you? Usually, when a child gets older, they become more sober. But I see that with every day you're aging, you're becoming more restless than ever. So, every day, Sri Gaurasundara, as his diet, would eat preparations made from the bananas, banana stalks, and banana flowers of Kulavecha Sridhar. In fact, in his thatched straw roof, from time to time, a pumpkin would grow. And that pumpkin, Sridhar would always give directly to Nimai. Nimai would bring it home and have Sachi Devi prepare it with milk and black pepper. She would make pumpkin kheer and serve it in Sridhar's banana cups. One day, Sachimata was feeling great happiness. Nimai would come home from teaching his students, bathing in Ganga. He would go to the temple, worship Shalagram Shila, water Tulsi and circumambulate her. Then he would go to take rest. One night, Sachimata heard from Nimai's room the fifth note of the flute of Lord Sri Krishna. It was an ambrosial sound of pure nectar filling her ears and her heart. And she came into the room and she saw Vrindavan Chandra, Sri Krishna, in the form of her beautiful golden son. And she saw the full moon situated right on his chest, emanating volumes and volumes of spiritual light. She did not know Nimai as anyone but her own child. But how much he attracted her heart. In this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his most merciful pastimes in Navadvip, showed the essence of all spiritual truths. How the Lord attracts the love of his devotees and accepts their service. This is the prayer of a real Vaishnava. The perfection of our life is simply that Krishna is willing to accept our service. Krishna is all attractive. And his eternal consort, Sri Radharani, is the attractor of the all-attractive. And when she blesses a devotee and awakens bhakti within their heart, that devotion attracts the all-attractive. And that eternal pastime of ecstatic loving exchange, of Krishna being attracted by his devotee and devotee being attracted by the mercy, the charm of Krishna, that is bhakti. That is the essence of Gita. That is the culmination of all the knowledge of all the scriptures of the world. Bhaktya tvananyaya shakya aham evam vidurjuna gyatam trastam chatatvena praveshtam chaparantapa. Krishna says, only by pure devotion, unalloyed devotion, can I be understood as I am, standing here before you. When Arjuna saw the Virat Rupa, the universal form, he was astounded that my friend Krishna is the supreme absolute truth, the ultimate creator, maintainer, and destroyer of everything that exists. He was fearful. I'm sorry, Krishna. I've offended you in so many ways. We sat together, we joked together, we laid together. I treated you like an equal, like a friend. When Krishna withdrew the Virat Rupa, he showed him the four-armed form of Lord Narayan. Then again manifested his beautiful form of Krishna. The perfection of Arjuna's devotion was to simply love Krishna because he was his friend. Although Krishna used the situation of Bhagavad Gita to show the world the ultimate supreme position of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada taught us that unless we understand the science of who Krishna is, how he manifests as Karana Dakshai Vishnu, Garbo Dakshai Vishnu, Kshiro Dakshai Vishnu for the creation of this world, how is Virat Rupa or universal form is creating and destroying everything? Unless we understand first the greatness of God, we cannot come to the transcendental state beyond that of our understanding the sweetness of Krishna in the rasas of Vrindavan, where the intensity of the heart's love for Krishna becomes so intimate that Krishna, by his yogamaya potency, covers the understanding of his opulences. And we love him as a friend, as our son, or as our most dear beloved. This great science of bhakti can take the aspirant to this highest stage of spiritual ecstasy. This is the gift of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That in the age of Kali, where there's so much disruption, evil, and dishonesty, he's giving this treasure freely. What is the price? With a humble heart to accept it. In the spirit of the servant of the servant of the servant, we cry out the holy names. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath are eternally smiling. It should be our aspiration in life to come running to the temple. And once we arrive here, our running should be transformed into dancing. Simply to assist Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas in pleasing them and making them smile. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.